Blog Talk Radio. Churchy, y'all better pray with me. I said he picked me up and turned me around, y'all. He picked me up and turned me around. One day he picked me up and turned me around. I said he my friend, oh, the blood of Jesus. I promise you I'm going to sing some more of this stuff in a minute. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, that washeth white as snow, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. That gives me strength from day my God today, it will never, ever, ever lose. It will never, never, ever lose. It will never, ever. never lose its power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. I'm gonna leave y'all in a minute. Of the Lamb, oh, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Y'all, can we keep singing them songs in the church? Oh, God. I just feel like having church, that's all. I know we ain't got all night, but just touch somebody real fast for me and tell them, say, neighbor, there's still power in the blood. Some of y'all still ain't talking to nobody. I see you looking at me. Just touch somebody, tell them, say, neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. There's still power in the blood of Jesus. Oh, y'all ain't saying it like y'all came there. Just touch somebody real fast and tell them, say, neighbor. There's still power. I know some of y'all think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I just love him, that's all. Just look at somebody and tell them, say, neighbor, I'm not crazy. I just love the God that I serve. I wonder if there's anybody in this house other than me.
Amen. Oh, my
But I wonder if there's anybody other than me that got a reason to shout.
September the 8th, 2017.
Just tell somebody, say, this ain't no show.
It's on.
Let me tell you right now, ain't none of this stuff even going to be on.
Live from your West Side studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. I'm your boy, your host, Minister Dana L. King, in the studio, y'all. It's good. It's about that time. I'm excited. Y'all just let me get a little bit more of this. Hold on. Friday, y'all. As always, it is Friday. That's how we do. We celebrate. We always giving God praise on Friday. We do some extra on Friday because that's just how it is. Hoping y'all had a great week and everything. But as usual, today is Praise Break Friday. Today's conversation is going to be good. I hope y'all ready for it. Are altar calls outdated? For those of you who go to church, I'm asking you a question. Are altar calls outdated? It's going to be a good conversation. I hope you're ready. It's going to be a good time. If you're already listening on the line and you've already called in, you're ready to have a conversation, just push one and you can be a part of today's show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. If you're listening via blogtalkradio.com, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, so are we, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. If you are on Twitter, you can tweet the show. Tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We would love to hear from you that way. Amen. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you that way. The live streams, I believe the live streams are up and running. Let me make sure about that. Yeah, the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. Go to Ustream. You can find us right there. Again, that's Ustream.tv. you can find us right there. Facebook Live. Y'all come on in. I see y'all coming on in the room. That's right. Come on in. Don't just come in and peek. Come in and speak. Right. Don't just come in and peek. Come in and speak. Come on. Come on. Come on. We would love to hear from you that way. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And yes, sir. And then last but not least, you can subscribe to our podcast. Simply go to you can Google us. That's what I just tell people from now on. Just go to Google. Do a search for Taking Limits Off Radio with Dana and Devon, and you can find us there. Subscribe to us on iTunes. That's right. You can subscribe to us on iTunes as well. Simply go to your iTunes account, do a simple search in the podcast section for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. Amen, amen, amen. Look, y'all, it's so much stuff going on. Real quick, man, I want to make sure I put this out there. It just seems like there are catastrophes and calamities. I'm laughing, y'all. I'm laughing at these Facebook comments because, you know, my brother Cornelius is on here. Look, man, don't start. King, not Parks, but Cornelius King is on here right now. But it's all type of calamities going on, man. We got two hurricanes going on simultaneously, man. That Harvey just came and went. The people are still trying to get over that. And then Irma, and we're going to talk about these names, Harvey and Irma. Now, we got Irma coming. Irma done came in, and Irma is in the process, and I'm on my way in. And let me get to this real quick. The reason why we're late is because we had some technical difficulties. That's why we didn't start at 12 o'clock. I know y'all, whatever. But I was here, and I was ready. But, you know, this computer right here, this one I'm pointing at, for those of you who can see right now, this one didn't want to act right over here. This one was fine. But this one over here had that I want to do what I want to do spirit going on the inside. So, yeah, that's why we couldn't get the live stuff up and running for y'all the way we wanted to. But you got Hurricane Irma coming. Then there's Jose, which is a tropical storm. I believe is now a hurricane. That's out there. And then after that, not only do you have two hurricanes, we're in the process of three hurricanes. Harvey just hit. Irma is in the process of destroying stuff now, even though Irma has been downgraded to a Category 4. You know, I mean, like, if you're in the midst of all this, and if the storm is going 185 miles, blowing winds gusting at 185 miles an hour, now it's down to 150, do it really matter at this point? You don't need to be in it. And then last night, we had an 8.0, an earthquake hit Mexico that registered an 8.0. So, and we got wildfires burning in California. So on both ends of the, think about this now. Think about this now. See, I'm not a prophet. I never claim to be one. That's not my gift. God has never said that. I don't do that. But I just find it awfully interesting is the word I'll use. I find it awfully interesting that on the West Coast, everything is burning. In California, we got fires that are just burning nonstop. And then on the East Coast, we have hurricanes. And then in the Midwest, what we doing? We just shooting each other, right? In the Midwest, we got all the violence. All in the middle area, we just got folk. So we got folk being killed and displaced because of fire. We got folks being killed and displaced because of the weather. And then in the Midwest where I am here in the good old city of Chicago, we just got folk being killed. But don't none of y'all think y'all need to be back in the house of the Lord. Huh? I'm just saying. You don't think you need to be in the house. You don't think it's a necessity that you ought to find yourself back into a relationship with God. I don't care what church you decide to go to. I'm not saying go join and be a member of a church. I'm saying check your relationship with God. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm wondering, is anybody paying attention to all of this stuff that's going on? I'm one who likes to pay attention to signs. And I said this last week when I was teaching Sunday school. I said, God always gives us signs. And I said, the way our bodies are set up as well, God designed these things, right? These these bodies that we inhabit. God designed them, and they give us signs. I'm like, if you're constantly suffering from something in your body, it's a sign. It's a sign. You write, King, the Book of Revelation. It's a sign that something is wrong. If you wake up every day and your joints are stiff and or you have a hard time breathing or you wake up with headaches all the time, that's your body's way of telling you that something is wrong. It's a sign that you need to at least go and check out what's wrong with you. Now, if you want to take that and relate that back to what's going on now, we've constantly having all of these catastrophes, and now they're coming one by one. I've never seen hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. Literally right now, we just had Hurricane Harvey. We are in the midst of Hurricane Irma, and Jose is on the way. And I did not mean to rhyme, but Jose is on the way. But we want to argue about doctrine in the church. God is constantly giving us signs. He's constantly giving us signs. He's constantly trying to let us know what's occurring, and we are still arguing about bylaws in the church. God is saying, I need you to be out trying to tell everybody about me before I get there. But yet we still arguing about bylaws. We arguing about bylaws in the church. And on both sides of the country that we in right now, it's calamity. Acres upon hundreds and thousands of acres upon acres are being burned in California. All of this stuff is happening on the East Coast, hurricane after hurricane. Texas got hit. Texas is in the South. Texas done got hit. Hurricane Harvey. Now Irma is coming in on Florida. And then Jose is following Irma. But we want to argue about doctrine in the church. About bylaws in the church. God is saying, hey, while y'all arguing about bylaws, I'm sending y'all signs to get right, church. And let's go home. I'm just saying, God, we missing it. We missing it. Because we want to argue about bylaws and who's in charge of the church. Can I help somebody? Ain't none of y'all in charge of the church. This is God's church. You may pay the rent on the building. You may pay the mortgage on the building. But at the end of the day, God is the one in charge of the church. But y'all arguing about bylaws. All this foolishness. We concerned about membership, but don't give two dry nickels about relationship. I just want to make sure your name is on the roll. I don't care if you got a relationship with God. I just want to know that your name is on the roll. Really? Is that where we are today? Is that where we are? We want to, because we concerned about whose name is on the roll. I got a better question for all of you, all y'all arguing about whose name ain't and whose name is. Can I help somebody? The only roll that you need to be concerned about where your name is written is in the book. Come on, somebody. Is in the book. Huh? Not the book of your church membership or your church directory. The only name, the only place you need to be concerned that your name is on the roll. Come on. Come on, somebody. Is in the book of life. Come on. That's the only place. When you get to, come on, it's like when you get to the restaurant, uh-huh, and you know you done made a reservation. Oh, my God, stay with me. And you get there, and when you get there, you want to make sure. Oh, Lord. You want to make sure that then you sit there for a while, and then you wonder why your name ain't been called. And then you get up there, and you say, well, sir, we don't have your name. How come you don't have my name? See, you need to check and make sure. That's why when you make a reservation online, they send you a confirmation of your reservation. They want to make sure you coming. They want to make sure you know you got an invite. They want to make sure you know you got a reservation. In the church house, see, are you checking to make sure your name is written in the book, or are you more concerned about your name being on the roll at the church? See, I got a problem with these all of these quote-unquote church leaders, these people who worrying about this person. That, have you at any time since we checking roles? You know, I don't care. I'm gonna say what I gotta say, because guess what? It's the truth. And if you don't like it, be mad with God. Maybe we ought to be concerned with whether or not these people have relationships with God before we, because watch this. If I'm, won't you want, what if I'm so concerned about having you on the roll, come on, and you ain't got no relationship with God? Oh, but you a member though. Oh Lord, I'm just saying. We need to check. I think we checking the wrong list, huh? I think we checking the wrong list. I think we need to be concerned. Do you have a relationship? Don't be checking to see where I am. Check to see where my spirit is. Check to see where my heart is. But no. We got our minds twisted up on some mess because we got these papers we gotta keep in order and all of this. We got these lists like it's Christmas. Are you on the naughty list or the nice list? Ooh, y'all pray for me. Oh God, I'm just. With all the stuff that's going on, with all the stuff that's going on in the world, we in church arguing over bylaws and what color you going to wear and what color we should paint the room and what color robes we ought to wear and what color we going to wear on first Sunday and what color the choir going to wear on third Sunday and what color we going to wear at the church picnic and what color. We worried about all of the wrong stuff. Y'all pray for me. We worried about all of the wrong things. But my God, when are we going to start, as someone said to me earlier, when are we going to start worrying about the right stuff? Oh, my God. When are we going to start worrying about the right things? Let me read some of these comments. Evangelist, God bless y'all. I didn't mean not to speak. Y'all, I apologize for not speaking. Let me go to the top. Angela Allen Johnson, God bless you. Sharon Davis, I see you. AJ Oso, what's going on, Bowling Buddy? Jamaica Sherman, God bless you. Sharon Davis, I see you. Cornelius King, my brother, I see you. Kevin Page, what's going on? Gonna be out there to support you, bro. Gonna be out there. I'm coming. You chill, we grill. I'll be out there. Evangelist Bianca Jensen, God bless you. Rashad, what's going on? Latanya Melvin, my producer, I see you. Lenny Leonard, what's going on? Kirby Newsom, I see you. Tamala King, I see you. Patricia Hicks, what's going on, sis? Let's see. Keep going. Cornelius Parks, what's going on, sir? Southside, what's going on? Kim Tony, I see you. Evangelist Johnson says, say that God is still on the throne all day, every day. Time to stop the nonsense. But the Lamb's Book of Life, hallelujah. Pastor, I'm with you today. Preacher, man, I have my reservation. Come on now. My great-grandmom used to sing a song, say, I got my ticket. She used to sing that song back in the day. I never knew the rest of the words because I don't think she did either. But she would just be washing dishes and start humming a song, say, I got my ticket. Do any of y'all know the name of that song? Some of my old school saints, y'all know I don't know none of them songs. But can y'all help me out? What was the rest of the words to that song? I got my ticket. I think it was something like I got my ticket and I got my load or something. I don't know. But it was one of them songs. I'm just trying to help somebody. I am. I'm trying to help somebody. Evangelist says, there's a checklist, and let's check it twice. Like, so, yeah. Pat Hicks says, in times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very, very sure your anchor holds. Come on, you better come on sang now, Pat. Come on. That's right. Give me one verse or something. I'm just saying. I think it's time out for all of this infighting and all of this mess and what church you do and how you baptize and what y'all wear and how come y'all don't do this and why y'all have church on Saturday and why y'all have church on Sunday and why y'all have Bible study on Thursday instead of Wednesday and all of this. At the end of the day, do you have a relationship with God? And that's a real question. I don't care about your membership. I don't care about that. Do you have a relationship? And when I say relationship, that means do you know him? I know he knows you, but do you know him? Do you know him enough to recognize who he is? Do you know him? I ain't ask you, do you know your pastor? I ain't ask you if you do you know who the chairman of your deacon board is? I ain't ask you, do you know who your minister of music is? Do you know him? Do you know him enough to recognize that all this extra mess that we're doing ain't edifying him? You're trying to keep some historical stuff in place that God never ordained in the first place. I don't care if you don't like it. Guess what? Hit the off switch. Facebook says 2 billion people on there. Go to another page. I don't care. Blog Talk got it's 3,000 other live shows on right now. You can click to any one of them. I'm just going to tell it like it. T-I-E. I don't care. There has to come a time where we move beyond all this petty argument and start to look around. People are dying and we arguing. People hungry, we arguing. People starving, we hungry. People homeless, and we arguing. Well, you didn't say my name, Pastor. You didn't recognize me. You didn't have me say nothing. I couldn't preach at your conference, Doc. You didn't invite me to preach. Doc, when you gonna let me preach at your revival, Doc? When you go, I'm so sick of all you. I mean, come on, man. Get somewhere and sit down. We got Youth Day, Women's Day, Family and Friends Day, all of these days. Are we using these days to build relationship, or are we just trying to increase numbers? I don't hear nobody. I ask the question again. Are we using these days to just to build relationship with the Father, or are we just going through the motions to add numbers? Because see, we have this really sad mentality or belief that the more numbers we have, the better we are. The more numbers we have, that's the mentality we have. We believe that the more numbers, the more numbers we have, then the better we are. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings, but numbers ain't got nothing to do with getting in heaven. I'll say it again. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings, but numbers ain't got nothing to do with getting into heaven. I don't care if you have 5,000 people in your sanctuary. If 4,000 of them don't know the Lord, y'all just having a meeting. Y'all just having a gathering. Y'all having a good old fellowship. And ain't nothing wrong with fellowship, but what's the cause of the fellowship? Are you fellowshipping because of the cause of Christ, or are you fellowshipping because so-and-so can fry some good chicken and brother so-and-so can make some good Kool-Aid? Huh? That's a real question. When I saw this article this morning, and we're going to get to it, when I saw this article about our altar calls outdated, and I in my head I instantly started thinking about stuff because I've said this all the time. When you hear a term altar call, you know, it has two things resonate in my head. I hear altar call meaning, you know, for prayer, but then also altar call for invitation to join. You know, invitation to join you into this body of believers. Those are the two things that pop in my mind. But I tend to go towards the prayer piece because I wonder if and I've said this before. How many times have some of y'all went to the altar for the same stuff? See, if you're going to the altar every time, if you go to, I mean, it's like this. Here we go. Oh, Lord. Thank you. Watch this. I sound like Eddie. I sound like the late Eddie, Pastor Eddie Long. Watch this. But look at this. Watch this. in this city, I don't know about other cities, but I'm sure they have the same issue. We have food pantries, right? Right now, downstairs, there are still people downstairs in the church. Y'all know I'm at the church. There's people downstairs right now in the food pantry getting their food right now, right? And the way it's set up is they have to show their ID, and they're only allowed to come every other week, right? They're only allowed to come every other week to this food pantry. That doesn't mean they can leave. They can't leave here and go to another food pantry early this week. It don't mean they didn't go to a food pantry yesterday. It don't mean they might not go to one tomorrow. It just means they can't come back here until the week after next. Now watch this. Watch this. All of that running to the altar, all of that running to the food pantry for the same. Watch this. If you go to the altar every week, meaning you leave this church, you go to another church, and every time they open up the altar, here you come running, and you're up there for the same thing. Can I help you real quick? And I don't mean no harm. I know it might come off a little harsh. Y'all pray for me, but I'm just going to say it like this. If you, every church you go to, you want a different pastor to pray for you. You want the bishop to lay hands on you. You want the prophet to tell you what's going on. And it's the same stuff. You have no relationship with God. I said it. I'll repeat it. If you run into every altar, every time they say it's an altar call, you ain't got no relationship with God. Can I help you? Can I help, as my Gregor mom, you say, can I hope somebody? Can I hope you? Let me hope you right now. If you had a relationship with God and you believe that once you talk to him and you've made your request of him and you are keeping your covenant with him and you're in right standing with him, if you know him, come on now, if you really know him, if you know him, then you know you ain't got to come back to the altar again. You know the minute you made your request known that he dispatched an angel with your response. Come on, somebody. If you really know him, you know you ain't got to go back to the altar. Come on, my God. You know you ain't got to go running back to the altar if you know him. But see, when you ain't got no relationship, when you don't know no better, you run into every table that's offering food. Oh, my God. You run into every conference. You run into every meeting. You run into every any and everything that they have because you ain't got no relationship. See, when you in right relationship, I don't need 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people praying over me. Oh, my God. When you in a right relationship with God, it only take one prayer. It only take one time. If somebody is sick and somebody is or somebody is in need and you come to the altar bearing it all, saying, look, God, and I ain't talking about them knee bowed and body bent prayers. I ain't talking about them prayers. I'm talking about say, look here, Lord, I know you and I know what you've done and I know what you can do. So God, I'm coming on behalf of my brother right now. And Lord, if it be in your will, I'm asking you to fix this thing. And once you got done with all of that, you get up off your knees, huh? And because see, watch this. If you know he's able, whoo, hold on, Dana, hold on. If you know he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we, if you know this, ain't no sense in going back to. I ain't got to come back. You know, I ain't got to keep calling. Oh my God. It's just like, his history, his record, his resume. Oh my God. His resume speaks for itself. Hey, Jesus. The Bible says that he never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. So if I got a relationship with him, oh my God. If I got a relationship with him, I ain't got to wait and come back next week. I don't have to keep running back because I know he's already answered. Now all I need to do is stand still and see the salvation. Yeah. Something got a hold. Oh my God. Hey God. Look here. It's like this. All right, I know I spent way more time on this than I was supposed to. Whew. If you know God and you're in right relationship with God, there's no need. Come on. There is no need to keep running back if you know him. It's just like, you know, you got some people in your life, and I'm not comparing people to God, but I'm just using this as an analogy, or let me use the preacher term, as an illustration. You know how y'all get. I just use this as a term. If you know you got that one person in your life, and you say, hey, I need you to do this. And I ain't talking about some trivial stuff, you know, go pick me up a sandwich and or all that, or, you know, you said you was going. I ain't talking about that. But if it's something that's important, and you pick up that phone and you say, hey, I need you to, can you help me out with this? And the person on the other end says, I got you. And I ain't talking about that old trivial, I got you. I'm talking about, you know, you good. I'm with you. We good. I can do it. When you hang up the phone, there is no doubt. Right? Everybody should have at least one or two people in their lives that they know they can call. And when they get the and if the answer is yes, you ain't got to call back. Right? So you know when you hang up the phone, oh my God, stay with me. You know when you hang up the phone with this person that whatever the request was that you asked of them and they said yes to you. Come on now. And they said yes. You know you ain't got to call back and say, hey, remember you said you was gone? Because it's done already. Oh my God. Well, see, if you got that much confidence in man, oh my. If you got that much confidence in man, then where? Where is your confidence in the Lord? Uh-oh. Where is your confidence in the promises of God? I believe that there is a scripture. Y'all help me. Y'all know my mind is bad. Sometimes it just don't want to work right, but y'all pray with me. I believe it's in Second Corinthians, somewhere in the first chapter towards the end. And it says something like this here. It says, for the promises. Woo! It says, for the promises of God that God has made are yes, and through him, amen. Now, I might have toned that up a little bit, but I believe it says it's yes, and then amen. Amen meaning that's it. That's the exclamation point. That's done. Yes, and amen. Now, if you go to the altar, if you go to the altar and you feel a yes in your spirit, oh, my God. Ain't no sense in going back. Because y'all get to the altar, y'all cry, the ushers done handed you a whole box of tissue, everybody hugging you and praying for you, and you feel and you leave, you say you left feeling better, you say you left, you felt relieved, but then the very next week, you back at the altar again. Then that means you don't have no faith in your yes and your amen. But God said, can I pull up the scripture? Somebody help me. Where my Bible readers at? Second Corinthians. Where my people at? Second Corinthians. Somebody go to Second Corinthians chapter 1 for me, please. Right. Where is your faith? Come on, Pat Higgs. Where is your faith? Ain't wasn't that Cleveland? James Cleveland. Where is your faith? You know he had a lisp. Oh God. Well, y'all know he had. But he had a song. Said, where is your faith? That was a song. Say, come on. See, I knew I had somebody. See, this is how you know you got Bible readers. This is how you know you got Bible readers on. See, this is why I know this show here. I don't care what nobody say. This is God ordained, God breathed right here. This is how I know I got some Bible readers. Second Corinthians 1:2 says, for the promises of God are yes and amen. That is. I only tore it up a little bit. I didn't give you the KJV. I gave you the DLK. But I was still on it. For the promises of God are yes and a man. Come on. If he said he gonna do it, huh? If he said he gonna do it, then what's the problem? And see, the problem comes when God done told us a yes, and then because the yes ain't happening yesterday. See, we want yes yesterday. Ooh, that's my God, that's a sermon title right there. Somebody write that down. When you want yes yesterday. See, that right there, that's a sermon. What time is it? 12:52. What's the hour on this thing? We at the 37-minute mark left. I need y'all to know. Somebody write this down, because I'm gonna keep this in my spirit. You want your, oh God, when you want your yes on yesterday. See, that's how we get in trouble. That's how we get in trouble. You want yes on yesterday. What you say, Marissa Williams says, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. So if you believe that, then how many times you gonna run to the altar? Huh? How many times you gonna run to the altar? How many times you gonna keep running to God? Oh Lord, you know my situation. Oh, because I mean, think about it. Now. Oh, I don't mean no harm. But this is why I have a problem. And then I'm gonna move on. But this is why I have a problem with some of these repetitive prayers in the church. This is why I have a problem with these repetitive prayers in the church. Because see, if you really believe God for who he says he is, and you really believe what you're saying, then you ought not have to repeat the same prayer every week. Uh-oh. Huh? See, I don't have to come before you, Lord, knee bowed and body bent. I ain't got to come before you, Lord. A few of your humble servants have gathered together today, and I don't have to come before you that way. I'm just glad that I woke up on this side and my pillow wasn't a cooling board. See, you ain't got to say all that if you really believe what you were saying. But see, when you're praying somebody else's prayer, oh Lord, when you're praying a prayer that you done heard somebody else say, and now you're mimicking him. See, that's not relationship. That's membership, because Deacon so-and-so prayed like that, so I need to pray like that. Reverend so-and-so prayed like that, so I got to pray like that. No, get your own relationship. Woo! Help me, it's hot in here. Get your own relationship. And then you pray your own prayers. See, that's why I have an issue with this thing that we in the church have misnamed the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father who art in heaven. You know, we misnamed it. See, you're singing this prayer. You sing this prayer, which is a model for prayer. It's not a prayer. It's a model for prayer. That's the Lord. That's Jesus telling the disciples, when you pray, make sure you say our Father, meaning make sure you recognize who you talking to, which art in heaven, meaning recognize who you talking to and where he is. Hallowed be thy name. Make sure you give him reverence when you're speaking to him. Thy kingdom come. Whatever you want to do, God, you can do. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as in heaven. Meaning whatever you want to do, God, down here or up there, it's your, this, look, this your party. We just got invited. Whatever you want to do, come on. But we want to keep playing and singing the same stuff. And see, if you really believe it, you wouldn't have to pray it again. Now, you can think I'm cold. You can think I'm callous. I have some friends right now. Matter of fact, I don't know. Cornelius King, are you still on here? Is King still on? Is on the Facebook Live post? This is one of my brothers in ministry here, one of the laborers here at the church with me. And a year ago, almost a year ago, he had quadruple bypass. Had a heart attack, and he had, I believe he had 80 to 85% blockage. And I went out to the hospital with the family, and I went to see him. And when I got there, he had already been taken into surgery, and they had him in there a long time because he had 85% blockage. And I was there with the family, and we sat around, we talked and all that stuff. But then I prayed. before it was time to go, I prayed. And we all stood and prayed in the waiting room. And we had folk in the waiting room with us that wasn't even with us. And they came and got to say, can we come get in the circle too? Can we pray too? My God, my God. Because they had folk who was having surgery too. And I prayed. Watch this. I prayed one time. I didn't pray for King's healing, but one time. In that situation, I prayed one time. Why? Because I believe that if it was in God's will that the surgeon was going to do what they said he was going to do, that he was going to come out, and he was going to come out just fine. I didn't need to go back to God a second time. I didn't need a second and third and fourth and fifth opinion. My God can do, whoo, my God can do anything but fail. So, see, I didn't need a second and third opinion. I don't need nobody to come and tell me back and forth, all of this back and forth, and who is this and who is that. What kind of God do you serve that you got to keep making the same request over and over again? And watch this. God doesn't do stuff the way he does. God does things greater and greater every time. But we want God to give us a repeat of 1975. Oh, God, you remember when the church was packed? Oh, I remember when we used to have this and remember. Oh, God is saying, do a new thing. But now I remember when we used to have all of this stuff, Pastor, and we used to have all of this and all of that. You used to. Guess what? Did you do what was necessary to keep it, or did you just keep it all inside? And then when it was gone and all of those people were gone, now you left holding the bag because you never tried to expand on it. It's like the parable of the people with the talents. The one man who had the one talent, and he stuck it under, and he dug a hole, and he buried it. And then when the person came back, he just handed him back what he gave him. That's how some of us treat church. We want church to stay the way it was. I want church to be the way it was when so-and-so was in charge, and I want it to be the way it was. It can't be that way no more. Guess why? Times change. I tell people this all the time. Who wants to go back? Because it's amazing to me the stuff we want to go back to. Oh, I wish I could go back to this, and I wish we could go back to that. Y'all know it's a whole bunch of white folks in the world that wish you Negroes would get back to the back of the bus. I don't hear nobody saying nothing. Y'all know it's a whole bunch of white folks wish you Negroes would get back on the field and start picking cotton. See, you got to be careful when you start talking about, I wish we could go back to the way things were. You know, that sounds an awful lot like something like this guy that's in the White House right now saying, let's make America great again. That's cold words. Cold words for I'm afraid of progress. Cold word is I'm afraid of the future. And the only reason you're afraid of the future is because you don't trust God. So you put your trust in man. You don't trust God. When you're afraid of the future, that means you don't trust God. Because you can't say I'm a blood-washed, Holy Ghost-filled Christian and then be afraid of the future. Well, I'm afraid if this happens, I might lose my spot. I might lose my place. Well, guess what? Maybe God didn't put you in the place in the first place. Because here's the deal. If God sent you, you good. If God sent you, you good. Now, if you went on your own, see, some were sent and some went. Now, I know some of y'all was just sent. Come on. Some of y'all was just sent, you know, some and God sent y'all. But then some of y'all just went on your own and saying God called you to do this. And God, well, you know, I believe this and I believe that. No, 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 no. If you believe God is who he say he is, keep your mouth shut. Let the process play out. Let the process play out and trust God. But if you don't trust God, then that's you got to do some behind-the-scenes stuff. I need to spread the word about this one. I need to say something about this one. I need to know that folk need to know about this one and what she used to do and what he used to do. See, that's you being afraid. That's you not trusting God. My goodness, my goodness. Look, y'all, I'm going to take a break. What you say? Evangelist Bianca says, Isaiah 43:19. She says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Yeah. See, everybody want new. But the Bible says something about trying to pour new wine in old wineskins. Can I talk to my car people? I got a buddy here. One of my buddies here at the church. He had a Monte Carlo. I used to have one too. He had an old Chevy Monte Carlo, and he put a new engine in that thing, I believe, twice. Here's the problem: when you put in a new engine, you can't keep putting a new engine inside a car that the rest of the products, the rest of the pieces, ain't a new too. At some point, you can't keep putting new stuff in old stuff. Oh, my God, don't miss this. You can't keep putting new, pouring good money after bad money. Come on, y'all, don't miss this. You can't keep trying to make this new thing fit into this old thing. Because, see, guess what? This new thing might be too big for this old thing. But, see, you want it to fit because you don't want to change. You don't want to change the way it's going to look because you're afraid it ain't going to look like what you remember. Can I help you? You should have took a picture. You should have had a video. You better come and take a picture and stick it on your wall so you can have that memory. Because God ain't going to do it the way you used to it being done. Huh? He's coming to do a new thing. The Bible says sing a new song. Huh? Come on. Lift up some hope. Come on now. I need y'all to come on. Act like it's 2017 and not 1817. Come on. But you say new oil. Ah, come on, Kathleen down in Georgia. New oil. New oil daily. She said, embrace God's destiny assignment. That's right. That's right. I can't sit back and wait on folk who refuse to change. That's why the children of Israel had to walk around that mountain, a place that only should have took them 7 days to get to. It took them 40 years. Why? Because you had a whole bunch of folk who was, well, why we got to do it like this? Why are we out here? Oh, no, no. They forgot that God had just rescued them. Oh, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me in here. Oh, at least when we was back there with the Pharaoh, at least we had some bread. At least he fed us every now and then. Now we out here. Did God not just save you? I mean, literally, just a day or two ago, did he not just rescue you? And that's how we act in the church. God will bring, I mean, I know some folk. Can I talk? I know I got this article. And where's my producer? Y'all help me. Tanya, I know we got this. I know we got this article. I know we got this article. But I'm going to need folk to start to realize that everything, and my brother, Pastor Keith Gordon, is on. God bless you, sir. I really would hope that when the Bible says the renewance of your mind, renew, that don't mean rehash. You know, there's a difference between renew and rehash. See, here's the problem. Let's just say. You know, in the body, there's this thing when the heart stops, they do resuscitation, right? And they have this thing called the DNR, do not resuscitate order. That's what they have, right? Y'all stay with me. I don't want to lose nobody. Please stay with me. I'm going to try to bring this thing home. There's this thing called a DNR, a do not resuscitate order. Right? Here is the deal. If all of your bodily functions, all of your major organs start shutting down, right? If your major organs are shutting down, everything but your heart, right? Your brain is dead, huh? And everything else is shutting down. What purpose would it serve to take a new heart from somebody else, a transplant that's available? Oh, my God, don't miss this. And put that new heart into a body that ain't ready to receive it. I'm going to let that marinate for a few moments. I want y'all not to miss it. Please, my God, don't miss that. That's okay. I know. I'll say it again. What purpose does it serve to put a new heart in a body that ain't ready to receive it? If the brain is dead and the organs have stopped functioning, then what purpose is the heart going to serve? All that heart going to do is keep pumping blood to dead areas that aren't capable of receiving it. Oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. in here. Woo, help me, help me, help me, help me, Lord, help me. Y'all, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Because here is the deal. See, in the church is the same. Some of us in the church, we've gotten the same way. We want to put all this new stuff into the body, and we haven't done the necessary things in the body, come on, to clean up, to prepare for the new stuff. Preach, Dana. We want all this new stuff. Oh, we want to have this ministry, and we want to have this ministry, and we ought to do this, and we ought to do that. And oh, I could see us doing this. But then while you moving in, come on, it's like a house. I hate to keep doing these illustrations, but it's like a house, and you done bought all this new furniture, but the old furniture, you just keep putting it in the back room. You don't take it out and call the junk folk to come get it. You just keep piling it up in the back. And so now all of your living room furniture is in the dining room because ain't no room for it. And all your dining room furniture is in the kitchen. And all your old kitchen appliances is on the back porch because instead of you cleaning the stuff out, oh, I just want some new stuff. We need this and need this. You're becoming a hoarder. Ah. When are we going to get to a point? Oh, Lord have mercy. When are we going to get to a point where we start to clean up some stuff? Move some stuff around. Don't just move it around. You know, this is what I used to do when I was a little kid. I'm going to tell on myself. Y'all know I tell it. When I was a little kid, my mom used to say, Dana, go in there and clean your room up. Right? Now, my room was a mess. Let me tell it. My room was a mess. And she would say, clean your room up. So my definition of clean up and her definition was different. See, her definition was change the sheets, sweep the floor or vacuum the floor because I had carpet. Vacuum the floor, get all the stuff up off the floor, clean up, do the laundry, all that stuff. Okay. Watch this. This is what I used to do, and this is where the church gets in trouble. See, Mom used to say clean the room. My definition of cleaning the room was I would make up the bed, and then all the stuff that was on the floor. Come on, church. Y'all going to stay with me. All the stuff on the floor, I used to push up under the bed. Uh-huh. And then I would put the sheet and the spread on, and I would pull it long on one side so when you came in the room, it looked like it was clean. Don't miss this. Don't miss this, church. Don't miss this. It looked like it was clean. But then my mama, because her name is Cheryl King, and she's a better investigator than I'll ever be, her name is Cheryl King, she would come in and do some investigation. And she would be like, oh, well, that looks nice. And you done sprayed enough air freshener, it smells nice. But then she'd be like, well, this spread is a little crooked. Let me help you fix it. And then she would go to lift it. And then as she lifted, she'd see a sock or something. She's like, oh, yeah, I think you left a sock. And then she would get down on her knees and say, boy, what is all? Then she'd go back and get the broom, and she'd start sweeping out all the stuff. I call myself hiding underneath the bed. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. She would start sweeping all the stuff. She said, now, how is your room still clean right now? Yes, your bed is still made up, but is your room still clean? And I would say, well, it was until you pulled out all my mess. See, that's how we do in the church. We don't really want to clean it up. We just want to cover it up. I'm preaching to myself. We don't really want to clean it up. We just want to cover it up. It looked like it was clean. And see, when you have company over, company don't do inspection. Oh, God. See, company don't do inspection. Company come in and they just see surface. And see, when we have events in the church, that's what company sees surface, because we want to make sure what they see is they you know, not necessarily that they're impressed, but they ain't asking no questions. Oh, but see, when company ain't around and the realness comes out, see, the fact that you don't talk to me and I don't talk to you, but see, at the event, everybody is smiling. Everybody got a smile and a grin on their face at the event. Everybody is I don't want to use the fake phony kicking. I'm going to say fake phony happy at the event. But the minute the benediction is given, you go back to your corner. I'm going to go back to mine. I ain't talking to you. You ain't talking to me. See, that's mess. But we want to bring all this new stuff, this new ministry into the church. Oh, let's start this ministry and let's start that ministry. But you got all these failed ministries. all these half-started ministries in this corner, all of this mess in this corner, all these folk over in this corner who got issues, all these folk over here who still mad about the church split, all these folk over here who've been mad since they just mad because they don't know what happiness is, all these folk over here who bitter, lonely, suppressed, and depressed, and all these folk, but you constantly want to start and bring in all of this new ministry. Where's the room for that to flourish? Oh, Lord, help me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I preached a sermon a while back. And I think I can't remember the title, but I think it had something to do with a crooked church. I think that was in the title. Something to say. It was something to do with a crooked church. I know folk listening gonna be like, oh, he's talking about his church. Yeah, I'm talking about the church universal. Because I don't want people. I think it's time out for what we're currently doing. I think at some point we need to come to a greater understanding of the things necessary to move forward. You ever move from one house to another? And you notice when you move from one house to another, for some of y'all, I ain't talking about everybody because everybody ain't like that. But for some of y'all, when you move, if y'all ain't hit the share button, I don't know what's wrong with you. Y'all to share this, don't be greedy. See, that's what y'all acting just like church folks. Hit the share button. Y'all ought to share. But watch this. For some folk, when they move, that's the one time they can clean up real good. That's the one time they clean up real good. Because everything that they can throw away, they throw away right then. Because they don't want to take it to a new place. Huh? They don't want to take it to a new place. So that's when they leave all of the junk behind. Now, imagine if you got a bunch of mess in your old house and you take all that mess in your old house and instead of getting rid of it and throwing it away, you put it in a garbage bag and you show up at the new house with the same garbage. How crazy is it? You making room. Watch this. Watch this. Think about it this way. I'm trying to get y'all to open up y'all minds. You're actually making room in the new house for the old garbage. I hope y'all didn't miss that. You actually have planned and made room in the new place. That's what we're doing in church. Instead of us cleaning it out and getting rid of all of this mess that no longer functions, we're moving from the we're taking from the third floor and we'll put it on the second floor in a room. And then when that get we'll take it from the second floor and put it on the first floor in a room. And then let's just put that in the basement. Why are we walking past the dumpster? Throw that mess away. Throw all that old antiquated stuff away. That includes some of your antiquated bylaws. That includes some of your antiquated doctrine, not the Lord's doctrine, your doctrine. That includes some of this old, I mean, come on now, where are we at? At some point, you have to get tired of lugging around all of this baggage. Maybe if the church started acting like United Airlines, I might be going too far, but I'm going. Maybe if the church started acting like United and American Airlines, y'all would stop bringing all this mess in the church. You know, when you fly United, you know, you got to pay for your bags. You know, you got to pay. This ain't Southwest. The church need to stop acting like Southwest and, you know, you can bring whatever. We need to start acting like United. You know what you bringing all that mess in here? Leave that mess at the door. Either, guess what? No. You get a carry-on, Doc. That's it. I'm going to allow you this one carry-on. And carry-ons have to be a certain size. And whatever you can put in that carry-on, that's what you bring. Everything else, you need to check at the door. Oh my God! I'm giving myself a whole bunch of stuff. I had to go back and watch. I'm just saying. Maybe if we start checking stuff at the door, your nasty attitude, all your scheming, all your lying, all your backbiting, all of that fussing you doing. Maybe you need to start checking that stuff. You know what? All you get is your carry-on. But sometimes we don't know what we so used to drama. We so used to drama that if we don't see none, we have to manufacture some. Ooh, help me, Lord. We have to manufacture drama when we don't see it. And that's a sad state of affairs. Well, this is too good to be true. Well, that can't be happening. That's too good to be true. Well, that's too. We're talking about God. Let God work his business. You do your part. Stop being a hindrance. Stop being a stumbling block. Stop being a troublemaker. Stop always running your mouth and going somewhere and whispering behind somebody's back and all this other mess. And you wonder why you won't prosper. You wonder why you're not prospering. You wondering why you lonely. You wondering why you sitting at home lonely. It's amazing to me. Out the same mouth, we'll say hallelujah in 1 minute and then go talk about somebody in the next minute. But I'm a member of the church. Where is your relationship, though? Where is your relationship? Well, I think we ought to have this ministry. Wait a minute. What about them other ministries that you tried to start? What about all these other failed attempts? Hey, can we address that first before you start moving into something else? And this only happens in the church. Because, see, in the secular world, you don't get promoted for doing half a job. Uh-oh. Help me, somebody. You don't get to say, hey, you know, I've been here about. I think it was a comedian that said that. You know, I show up most of the time on time, and I only call in every now and then. And when I'm here, you know, I pretty much sometimes do my work and all of this. And I think, look at, I say, you know, you all let me run the department. I think we ought to do this. Now, see, what somebody ought to do at that point is say, you know, sir, you know what, Dana, that sounds like a good idea, but let me grab your book real quick. Let me see here, sir, before you start talking about you want to start a new ministry here. Let me see. Okay, you late for church every week. All right, you late every week you late. Okay, let me see. Every time some drama come up, your name is in it. Okay, all right, that's you. Let me keep turning the page. All right. Wait, let me see here. Oh, this is good. Oh, wait. You done cussed out at least 15 people in the church. Okay, right. Let me turn the page. Let me wait. Oh, wait. You done had a fight with at least 7 people in the church. You done did some stuff. You done threw communion on somebody. Wait, did you have a fight in the communion? Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait, did you threaten? Wait a minute. Okay, so. You know what? I think we're going to let you start a ministry. I mean, that's how silly we are in the church. I just wonder, when are we going to say, you know what? No, baby girl, brother man, I'm going to need you to go sit up under some learning. Matter of fact, I don't even need to hear your mouth no more. See, we need some strong leaders in the church to tell some people, I don't need to hear your mouth no more. Now, I can't stop you from talking, right? I can't stop you from talking. I can't stop you from whispering. I can't stop. But what I can do in the church, see, if you're a leader in the church, you can stop mess. You can stop mess. You can tell Deacon so-and-so, who always got something to say and always out of line, always, you can tell Deacon so-and-so, you know what, Deacon? Man, you know what, man? I appreciate the work you done did, bro. And I know you I know you, man. I know you've been faithful, man. You've been a member for X amount of years, and your mama was baptized here, and your grandmama, and everybody, and that's wonderful. And you know what, Deke? For that reason, I'm not gonna have you escorted out. But what I am gonna do is ask you to have any one of the several seats that we have available. And what I'm going to ask you to do is not to touch not a nan of the microphone during a service in this church. And what I am going to ask you to do is at the next meeting, at the next deacon's meeting, when you come, if you do decide to show up, because, you know, every now and then they show up. If you do decide to show up, I'm going to need you not to have any ideas or thoughts or processes, because what I feel like you need to do is just sit back, shut up, and listen. What I think you need to do is sit back, shut up, and learn. You know what, trustee so-and-so, I really value your opinion. But what I really need you to do is go have one of them seats. We got plenty. Come have several seats. Matter of fact, you can have two rows, one for you and one for your attitude. And then you can have a third row if you like, because that's for the people who think you, who the people who believe you've been wronged, they can sit right behind you. I'm not asking you to leave, but I am going to tell you to sit the hell down. I'm not asking you to leave, but I am going to ask you to shut the hell up. I just think it's time that we get some leaders in the church to start putting some people in their place. Then we wouldn't have all this mess. We wouldn't have all this division inside the actual church and then the division in the body of Christ. If we had some leaders who just came and told some folk to shut up. I'm not just talking about people in the church. I'm talking about some leaders in the church community to walk up to some of these pastors who just run in their mouth but don't do nothing, or they just sit in their sanctuaries and never come out and meet people in the street. I think we need to get a community of pastors together who are not afraid to go to their door and say, hey, you've been in this community for 25 years and don't nobody know you. You either need to come up and do something, or you know what? Shut your doors and move the hell out. I think if we had some people to actually stand up and start to do that, we wouldn't have all this disunity and disloyalness in the church. It's like we said this other day about you couldn't say stuff. You couldn't talk in the room with adults. Well, somebody need to go to some of these priests and say, you know what? I'm tired of seeing you on TV. I'm tired of seeing you on TV and the community is dying. I'm tired of your Facebook Live, but I'll never see you in the street. I'm tired of you talking about what you're going to do, but the community don't know you. That's wonderful that you want to go do something for Houston. But when you going to do something for Austin? Huh? I don't hear nobody. It's a wonderful thing you want to go do something for Florida. But when you going to do something for Austin? That's the question. I'm just saying, it's wonderful. Oh, we can send this and send that. Send something to Austin. When you get through sending stuff to Houston, show up in Austin. I don't hear nothing. I know it got so quiet you can hear a rat pissing on cotton. When you get through sending stuff to Miami, show up in Austin. I don't hear nobody. When you get through doing all of that stuff, See, let me explain something to y'all. Before this radio show right here, this one right here, taking limits off, that one right there. Before this radio show ever packed a bottle of water and sent it to Flint, we were already active in the community. I wouldn't dare step foot in Flint, Michigan, and had I been ignoring the community that my radio station and my church sits in. See, that's the difference. Because, see, we don't need to be on show and on display and all of that. So before, it's wonderful that everybody is packing up and doing all of this stuff. But after you get done with all of that, I need you to show up in Austin. Show up in Austin. You can take as many bags and bottles and all this stuff, wherever you're going to take. Show up in Austin. Make your own name in Austin, not your daddy's name, not what your granddaddy used to do. What have you done in Austin? What have you done in the 15th district? What have you done in the 11th, in the 24th, the 28th ward? Where's all of that at? Where is the same vigor at? Oh, because see, that ain't gonna get me no publicity.
Oh, what I say? Huh? Did I say that out loud?
Did I say that on? Did that go across live on the air? But we Facebook Live, man. We got this many this and
Houston, we on our way. And Houston, we Facebook Live. And man, Houston, we love you. And Houston, we love. When have you did a Facebook Live about Austin? Huh? I mean, I done just lost. What, I got 3 minutes? When have you done a Facebook Live about the community that your church sits in? I got to ask this question. That's why, folks, that's why you don't want to come back on. That's why you don't want to be on here. You know, you don't want no parts of this. Because I got to tell you. When have you done a Facebook Live saying, hey, Austin, we here. We care. We love you. Huh? Why y'all sending all of this stuff back and forth? But the area where your church is, the folk don't know you. But you're on Facebook Live. We. Whew. Y'all see all of the stuff in the back. We sending it out. We got trucks and all of this stuff and all of this. When you gonna roll a truck through Austin? I ain't asked you to give your money up to Austin. I ain't asked you to give your money up to East Garfield or West Garfield or Auburn, Gresham or anything. I'm not asking you to do that. See, my boy Parks, come on, Cricket, you right, Crickets. See, my boy Parks out on the south side, he's always out in the community. So when he say he's going to do something for Houston, I applaud that because you're doing the work at home. I can't help but applaud that. But all you other, let me try not to use bad language. Y'all pray for the preacher. Pray for the preacher. But all you other folk, prophet so-and-so, archbishop so-and-so, apostle so-and-so, everybody running down, but I ain't never seen you in this. I mean, never. I done been on many a street corner on this side of town, on the west side of Chicago. Anytime there's a shooting, I get a text message letting me know where we need it and where we ought to go. But I can't never find y'all. I don't never see y'all. Oh, but when it's a national news, oh, I must get out. I must go. I must be seen. I want you to see me. I want you to, because you know, this is a big thing. Get you some. Have several seats. Y'all come on over here to my church. We got plenty of room. What you say, John Miller? I know, man. I'm probably gonna be in trouble. That's okay. I just want to know. I just want to know where y'all at. Where you been? Come on, help me out. It's time for me to go. I got to go. I'm past time. It's time for me to go. I know we had this article about our altar calls outdated. We're going to definitely do this on Monday. So, because this is actually a good article, but something else took over today, and it's all right with me. Right, don't go live. Just right. Just do it. See? Mella, just do it. You ain't got to go live. Go live. Look, go live after you do it. Matter of fact, I don't even want to see you on live no more. I should start blocking some folk. But see, if I block you, then I don't know you're talking about. I just thought about the episode of Insecure, but I know y'all don't watch that. Y'all too saved to watch Insecure, so it's okay. But let me go. I got to get out of here, y'all. I got to make it to Oak Brook. Father God, we thank you right now, God. God, for what we've heard on today, God. We thank you, God, for just being you, God, and for allowing your spirit to once again take over in this place, God. We thank you for the information that you allowed me to prepare, God, but we thank you for the rhema word that went forth anyway. God, we thank you for all those new listeners who chimed in today, God. We thank you. Well, God, we're just grateful for each and every one of you who play a part, and God, those you've allowed to play a part in this radio broadcast. God, we thank you for all the listeners. God, for the thousands of listeners on the Blog Talk Radio website. God, we thank you for those on the Facebook web, on Facebook Live. God, we thank you for those on Ustream who are watching right now live via Ustream. God, we thank you for those who are at work listening on their cell phones right now, God. We just thank you for them, God, and we ask that you would continue to bless and keep them, God. Now, God, we ask that you would continue to keep your arms of protection around those people, God, who are now trying to recover cover in Houston, God. Give them strength where they're weak right now, God. And then, God, we ask that you would gird those who are in Florida right now, God. That you, if God, if it be in your will, that you would direct Irma in a different direction, God. That you would move her away from the land, God. Never let her touch land if it be in your will, God. And then, God, they say it's something called Jose that's following behind Irma, God. We ask that you would keep Jose where he is, God. Direct him back in the other direction, God. And then, God, and then there's another one that they say is coming. It starts with a K. I don't remember the name, God, but you would just keep all of these things, God. We know that you're trying to tell us something. We know that you're sending us the signs. And God, I would ask that you would, don't give up on us, Lord. God, don't give up on these leaders, God, even the ones self-appointed. Don't give up on us, Lord. Continue to give us, God, the signs, God, and continue to open the eyes of us, God, who stay woke. Ah! Continue to open up the eyes of those of us who stay woke, God. Continue to bless those who are actually on the wall and doing the right thing, God. And then, God, I would ask right now that as we leave this place, but never your presence, God, that you would give us traveling mercies, God. Those who are listening right now, God. Those who are on the highways coming back from Florida. Those who are going down there to volunteer, God. We ask that you would keep them in perfect peace. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Man, look, y'all, I got to go. It's been a wonderful blessing. Y'all have blessed me today. I'm going to come back and read some of these comments later on, but I got to get up out of here. I love y'all. I will see y'all on Monday. We'll be back. And if you got to drive through this place we call Chicago, do what you need to do. Keep your head on the swivel. Love y'all. Peace.
Church with a wrinkled shirt.
Picking up the cross and taking our limits off, taking our limits.